so much, Chris. Chris and Tanya and Jade have been leading us here. We've got three handsome fellows behind us there. Hey, guys, come on over here a sec. That'd be Dylan, the handsome ones, and Dan, and Aaron. Not Chris. These guys here, just come up here, these shy guys. Of course, Dylan there, the cool guy there with the runners, and this guy, he's our interim youth director, and his wife, Leora, is our permanent children's director, and she's just been away. Grandpa died last week, and she went to Montreal. And I said to Dylan, is your wife back? And he said, yeah, that's great. And he says, oh, my goodness, I'm so happy. So then I said to this young fella, hey, and your wife, where's she at? And he said, just 1 week. The marriage is next Saturday for Dan and Justina. And then this handsome fella, I says, and when's your wife? And he said, 2 months. So let's thank God for these guys and their wives to be. Yeah, good. Well, it's about 11:15, and we just want to welcome you to the portion of the service that's called the Word or the Law of God, as we're looking into this morning. And I've always been taken with the Gideon description of the Bible. I'm going to read that first. And while I'm reading it, if you want to kind of go to the middle of your Bible and look up the book of Psalms, because we're going to be looking at the Psalms today. And we're going to start with 19, and our text will be Psalm chapter 1. But while, if you're there, just take a minute. And I'll read you this powerful narrative on the Bible. And that's what all these groups are all about this morning, and studying the Word of God, that God has so much for us. The Bible. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are unchangeable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map. It's the pilgrim's staff. It's the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, should guide the heart, guide the feet, rule the heart. Read it slowly, read it frequently, read it prayerfully. It's a mine of wealth. It's a paradise of glory. It's a river of pleasure. It is given in life and will be opened at the judgment and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred comments. Reading, Dave Shook's going to come and read Psalm 19, 7 to 11. Get your finger back to Psalm 1 after that, and he'll read Psalm 1 as well. David, thank you. Yeah, it's green. If it's green, it's working. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there we go. I'm reading from the New King James, which is the translation that I have. We're reading from Psalm 19, 7 to 11 first.
Let's stand together as we listen to the Bible. Sorry, David.
That's okay. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Then turn over to Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish.
Thank you. It's always good to carry around the Word of God. If you have a little New Testament with you, keep it in your purse, keep it in your pocket, and it's always good if you don't have a lot of verses in your heart to keep the Word there. And you'll notice along life's journey, you'll have places to read it and go through it. We're speaking on Psalm 1. Psalm is an incredible book. It's the biggest book in the Bible, and to many Christians, it's the hit. It's the best book because it speaks about every experience of life that you and I can go through. And it speaks of how that relates to God and to others. Psalm chapter 1 that David read out to you, it begins with the word blessed. It speaks then of those who are blessed by God, the righteous people. The last word is perish. And that speaks of the destination of those who are not righteous. So Psalm 1 lays before us, then, a path either of being righteous or following a path of the wicked. There's kind of like a fork in the road. Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which our fathers served or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that we dwell. But Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jesus spoke of two ways as well. He said, enter you in at the straight gate. Now, the word straight there means like straitjacket. It's a small and constrictive way when you follow God. Enter you in the straight gate. Because he said, narrow is the way. It leads to life. But he said, few there be that find it. You enter in the straight gate, that path, because wide is the gate. And he said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many be which go in thereat. You and I know that's true in life. So in Psalm 1, MacArthur says that there are two peoples, two paths, and two destinations. Jesus said it to it. He also said that in Matthew 25, he divided mankind into the sheep and into the goats and their destinations of either eternal life or eternal condemnation, sometimes called hell in the Bible. So we want to encourage you, of course, in the way of the righteous this morning. So I want to try and trace the steps then of the righteous and then trace the steps of the wicked from Psalm chapter 1. And it kind of breaks up neatly for the preacher. Verse 1 to 3 is the trace, you can trace the steps or the path of the righteous. And we see a bit of definition of that as it kind of lays it out. The first thing about the righteous person is kind of negative. It says in verse 1, he doesn't walk with the wicked. He doesn't stand with the sinners. And he doesn't sit down with the mockers or the scornful. So the first thing about the righteous person is that he wisely chooses his company. Or he avoids compromise in his life. And compromise can take place. And so You notice the progression or the degression and the degeneration, the downward drag of sin. You walk by it, you're called to. You're not called to walk with the wicked. That's sort of the where you notice sin, you walk it by. And then when you, rather than just walking, you stand and you start contemplating and considering. And then, of course, the third thing is you sit down. And when you're sitting down, you're pulling up a chair with those who mock God. Those who say there's no God. Those say there's the Bible is not true. And if you begin to play with yourself in moving from walking and you're playing with sin and standing and sitting, you begin to play with sin. You're taken. James said this. He said, every person is tempted. And then if he goes down that path, he's drawn away of his own lust. And he's enticed. And then lust conceives and brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Lot tried it. Lot was a righteous person, according to Jude and 2 Peter. And Lot had the choice of where he's going to live. And he chose to pitch his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Pretty wicked place. But not only did he choose to pitch it, next time we see him in Genesis, he's living in Sodom, and then we see him sitting in the gates in the council of Sodom. So he walked by? No. He stood? Yes. And then began to sit. Not good. Not good. There's an old fable about a bird and a fisherman. Fisherman is fishing. He's got a can of big, fat, juicy worms. And the bird kind of comes down, and the bird says, hey, can I have a worm? Fisherman says, sure, if I can have a feather. Bird loves that juicy worm. Next day, the bird flies in again and says, hey, rather than me out working, how about a free worm? Well, I'll give you this big, fat, juicy worm, but I want another feather. So the exchange takes place. And, of course, it goes on for a few days. And then the bird realizes, given up too many feathers. Can't fly anymore. So the fisherman reaches, takes the bald bird, cooks them up, eats them for dinner. What are you exchanging? When you come to sin, you're exchanging your holiness. You're exchanging your power. You're exchanging the things that God wants you to have. But if you're on the path of the righteous, you'll not compromise with evil. The call of the crowd is powerful. And it calls all of you here, not just the teenagers. The crowd is out there calling you, the wide gate. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, we read that evil company corrupts. We become like those we are with. If you're in Psalms, flip over to Proverbs 4. That's the next book. Hey, you can all find it. Grab a book like this out of the pew. It's the book of books. Hit the middle of it. See Psalms. Just go over next to Proverbs, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 14. Hey, just before I read it, think of the crowd. Just hanging out with the crowd. Hanging out with the crowd? Surely that decision won't hurt you. But one rationalization leads to another. Before you know it, you've ended up going down a road you never intended to be on. The call of the crowd. Solomon says in verse 14, don't set your foot on the path of the wicked. Don't even set your foot there. Don't walk there. Don't stand there. Don't sit there. Don't walk in the way of evil men. We're called to witness to everyone whom we know. Jesus said, we're in the world, but he prayed. He said, God, I pray that you'd keep them from the evil one. Keep the evil one from them. But notice 15, avoid it. Don't travel on that road. Turn from it. Go on your way. They, the wicked, cannot sleep till they do evil. They're robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. The devil's out to make you fall. He's out to claim somebody here for 2012. Will it be you? Will you be the Peter who falls this year? Or are you going to hang in there with the people of God? Look, they eat the bread of wickedness and violence. Ha! But here's the path you want to follow. The path of the righteous is like the bright gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The crowd. Aesop's fable. A man went to buy a donkey. And he got the donkey and he said, before I kind of finalize the deal about this donkey, he said, I want to take home and test the donkey out. If the donkey's good, I'll come back and buy it. I'll pay you good money for it. Took the donkey home, put the donkey out in the straw yard with all the other donkeys, and that donkey that he brought, he kind of looked around. He saw one donkey over there eating feverishly. He left these donkeys, and he went over to that donkey. And he joined that donkey. And that donkey was the most idle donkey and the one that ate more than anybody else. That farmer went over and put a harness on that donkey and took him back. And the guy said, well, I thought you were going to try him out. He says, I don't have to try him out. He'll be just like the companion that he chose to be with. Be careful as to who your friends are. How can you test whether you're falling right now? How can you test whether you've kind of crossed that line where you shouldn't? Well, you can just ask the question, who do you turn to for advice? Who do you turn to for approval? And if you say, well, my friends, and if your friends are without Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. And parents, will you get your head out of the sand right now? Because some of you are saying, my child is different, Pastor Randy. My child won't choose that way. Well, who does your child go to for approval? You can answer that. You see, the path of the righteous doesn't compromise. Not only those that negative he doesn't do, the righteous is very, very positive because he's got the book. He's eaten the good food. And not only has he got the book, but you notice that verse 2 says in the Psalm, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Well, guess what? David, the psalmist, didn't have a copy of the Bible. But they were meditating on it day and night. Where'd they get the Bible from? Where'd they get the law of God from? David says his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is positive. I'm getting fed the best of stuff, David said. I delight in it. I love it. I like what it says about me. And I want to meditate on it. You see, David was taught in synagogue. It is important, Mom and Dad, that you have your kid in synagogue. I mean, that's sort of the old-fashioned Sunday school, the synagogue. Synagogue, a gathering together of people, but it's a place where you learn the Word of God. And also, these young Jewish boys probably memorized Deuteronomy 6, the law of the Lord, 1 to 10. And they memorized the great verses of the Scriptures, and they memorized them. They had them in the Word of God. I said to a family yesterday, I won't mention their names because I didn't ask them if I could use them for an illustration, but it's probably a good illustration. I said, do you guys know any scripture And then they each spouted off some scripture. Lights go out. The Bible's gone. Can any of you meditate? Do you know anything in your heart and your head that you can meditate on? I mean, day and night, is there anything you got going for yourself? Do you know any verses? Do you have any food? You see, the cow can't meditate. The cow can't chew the cud unless what? He's got to have some food in the tummy. The psalmist delights in the word of God. The psalmist meditates on it because he's memorized it. And actually, these two guys go to our school. Good place, mom and dad, send your kids. Sandy and I have three wonderful kids. They're the best kids in the world. Yeah, no problem. Well, we made the decision to send our kids to Christian school. It cost us a lot. I was making about $23,000. I'd always tithe at the church, a few hundred, $260 a month, and schooling cost us $320 a month for those three kids to go there. Of course, we maintained a household as well. But I never regret that, because those little guys would come home with the Word of God in their head and in their heart. And I just want to commend you. I see David could meditate, but you have to have something in your belly to meditate on. And he delighted in the Word. I must go on. And because he did that, he was bearing fruit. If you want a word picture of the psalmist now, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You ever go, it doesn't mean big rivers, it means a little stream really is what we're talking about here. But you ever go along a stream to fish and there's trees all over the bank. Lots of green things growing. Lots of fruit coming out as it were. That's the place you want to be planted. In the Holy Land is a dry place. This world you live in is a dry place. And you need to be planted by the Word of God. It's like a river there. And it just nourishes you and it gives you the strength. You notice what else it does? Your leaf doesn't wither. Are tough times going to come upon you? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But it's the law of God that gives us our strength. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. You belong in one of these groups. Robin wouldn't get other guys up there like me or Adrian and other guys. He couldn't. But there's so many groups. You got to belong to a group, a little family, where you can learn the Word of God. And you can ask questions. Wouldn't you love to ask questions to me as I preach? You know, I know how often I get things mixed up here. And you probably like to say, hold it, Randy. What did you say? What did you say? Well, you're not allowed to do that here. Because I'd never know where I'm going if I don't know where I'm going with the Lord saying me. If I'm going this way, whatever, you know, hey. But get in a place where you can ask questions. Wow, what fruit. That means God-like qualities. You're meditating in the Word, you're like a fruit tree. And even in the tough times, you're not going to wither. You're going to get strength. And you're going to prosper. That means you're going to be wealthy. And not necessarily with money. Money doesn't make you wealthy. But character. Be able to say no to sin. Well, the wicked, verse 4 to 6. One word. You see, I just described to you the righteous man. And then Psalm 1, verse 4, it says, not so the wicked. Not so the wicked. There you go. It contrasts what we just said. Does the wicked walk and stand and sit and sin? Yeah, that's his life. Not so the wicked. He doesn't walk by it. Does he delight in the Word of God? No, not so the wicked. Does he bear fruit? Not so the wicked. Instead, he's like the chaff that the wind drives away. He's got no strength in hard times. He's like empty chaff. No value in life, no substance in life, and no destination in life. You see, that chaff is going to be discarded. His time will come. David said in Psalm 73, he says, I kept looking at the wicked, those who are not believers, and it seems that they were doing okay in life and they were accumulating lots. And he says, I never understood their end in Psalm 73, 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. And their end is the last word of Psalm 1. They're going to perish. They're going to perish. Jesus said, he that believes in the Son has everlasting life. But he that doesn't believe the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You know the wrath of God in Revelation? It's described as a mountain coming down upon you. Remember the Hope, Prince, and Slide. That's how old I am. 64. Whole mountain came down. They warned the bus driver. They warned the family of five. They said, don't go down there. There's a mountain that's going to come down. There's going to be a tremendous landslide. They said, we think we can make it. They didn't make it. They were buried alive. Some of you think you're going to withstand the judgment of God if you're a wicked one. You notice it says, he's going to be judged. He won't escape the judgment of God. It's appointed on men once to die, and after this, the judgment. See, he won't stand in the judgment, verse 4 and 5 says. But also, he's going to be excluded from the firstborn in heaven. It says he won't stand in the judgment, and it says that he won't appear with the godly. That phrase, according to Spurgeon, is a picture of heaven. What are we seeing here this morning? Just two simple truths. Number one, we become like those we are with. Don't go with the crowd. A good heart with a bad compass will take you to the wrong place every time. A good heart with a bad compass will take you to that wrong place every time. It went down the wrong way. Excuse me. I didn't need that at that time. Pray for me when I preach. Rather than judge me, why don't you just pray for me? I need your help so much. Lord, I just want to say this. We become like those we're with. Read the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 22, 24. Don't go near a hot-headed man. Why? You'll learn his ways. Don't go near the abuser, the great consumer of booze. You'll learn his ways. Don't go near the rebel. You'll learn his ways. That's why we don't want the crowd to teach us. We want the book to teach us. So, number one, choose your friends carefully. Ephesians 5:14, walk carefully in this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it is of the world. In Romans 12:2, the world wants to squeeze you into its mold. The devil would do anything he could to get you fall this year. Some fell last year. Will you not say, God, I am going to give myself to the book. I'm going to delight in it. It ain't burdensome for me. 1 John 5:3. The commandments are neat. I'm going to delight in it. Produces pure joy, deep-seated joy, redemptive favor of God. It'll produce fruit and strength and will prosper. I want to ask you this morning. Number one, will you choose your friends carefully? But number two, will you see the incredible value of the Word of God? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Bible. We read about that. Boy, when Dave read that about the law of the Lord is perfect, what other thing is perfect but the world? The world has the Bible in it. That's perfect. Thank you, dear God. Open our eyes, oh God. Open our eyes to the value of the Word of God. Don't let us, God, be taken. Eve saw, she lusted, then she took. Don't let these people fall down. May they realize the downward drag of sin, but may they realize the upward pull of the Word of God in Jesus' name.